Bickley and Murata. Social studies.
I don't want to jinx anything, Bick. Another show that's flown by to this point.
Yeah.
Not as much as yesterday?
Yeah, not as much as yesterday. Okay. Yesterday really felt like... Today's good.
So we talked about yesterday, when does time move the slowest? For me, it's looking forward to social studies every day, and I just haven't felt that the last... All right.
Okay.
Enough buttering up, Kazelle.
Yeah, seriously.
Take it away, Sarah.
How are we doing, guys?
Doing well.
Good. How are you, Sarah?
Doing well. Thank you very much. Welcome on into Social Studies, everyone. We tell you to do it every day, but still, if you haven't, what are you waiting for? Follow us on Twitter, at @Bickley_Murata. That's where all the questions for Social Studies go, and that's where I pull the answers from as well. So let's start off with the Phoenix Suns. Last night, Joel Embiid almost pulled off the shot. Of the century, maybe?
Yeah.
Last night, it didn't land, but he heaved it one hand opposite side of the court, and it with what, 0.8 seconds left in the game, I think.
Yeah. By the way,
would have won it.
The official stat sheet, the game book said that that was only 67 feet.
That's not.
There's no.
No.
There's no chance. Yeah.
There's no chance that was only 67 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get the picture. Didn't land, but still would have been an incredible shot if it had. So we are asking, what is the single greatest shot or play in Suns history?
That's pretty simple, right?
I think it's simple too. It's got to be Garfield Hurd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shot heard around the world.
For those who have no idea what we're talking about, it was
It was the
1976 NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics, and he hit a miraculous shot at the buzzer to force the third overtime.
The year was 1976, right? There was no air conditioning in the building. Richie Powers, ladies and gentlemen.
Incredible.
There's been great ones. Barkley shot to beat San Antonio in 93 to put them in the Western Finals. Dan Majerle had a great regular season three-point buzzer beater to beat the Lakers and famously jumped over the scorer's table in celebration.
Cool. Yeah, it was cool.
Rex Chapman shot.
Yes.
In terms of degree of difficulty in the playoff game against Seattle, was probably a better shot than what Garfield Hurd did, but they lost the game and they didn't do anything in the playoffs. That was an amazing shot, but the answer is Garfield Hurd.
Vince is a Suns fan. You can tell.
He mentioned
like exactly the ones that people mentioned.
Yep. I have no other responses to read to you because that's what they were.
The ones you missed, though, were the...
I'm sorry.
I'm sure Tim Thomas is in there, too.
Oh, yeah, Tim Thomas.
The ones you missed were the dunks, also. The Tom Chambers dunk.
Yes.
The Kevin Johnson dunk over Akeem.
Yeah.
And the...
That's two different categories.
Well, I said...
dunks and best shots.
I did. I said shot or play.
Yeah, shot or play.
There you go again, muddling up the stuff, Jared.
I know.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
Okay.
I'm a muddler.
Yeah,
and then
a muddler.
The Amari dunk that made Stephen Marbury make that face.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when he...
The stank face?
Yeah. When he obliterated Anthony Tolliver.
Oh, that was great dunk.
But yeah, those are all of the most popular responses. I'm really trying to find something else that isn't any of those.
Somebody said Pat Burke made a three-pointer in the fourth quarter.
Oh, we do love Pat Burke around here.
People.
Yes.
That has to be it.
I'm trying to find it. Yeah, I can't find it. Control F is failing me right now. But yeah, it was pretty easy for Suns fans to figure this one out. Well, we will stick with the NBA. And speaking of Joel Embiid, earlier in the show, you were just talking about how fantastic he was last night against Phoenix. So we are asking, of these four centers, which would you most want to have on your team going forward? And this is not intended as shade. It's just, who do you think would be the best to have? Jokic, Joel Embiid, DeMontis Sabonis, or DeAndre Ayton?
Right, I've got a couple issues with this question.
Okay. Right.
It's not shade when I don't pick Ayton.
I would
pick Jokic. The inclusion of Sabonis on this list is curious.
I said this before to Sarah. It was between him and Gobert.
So would you swap him out for Gobert?
Or would you have just made it?
Sabonis has played... 57% of his minutes at power forward.
He's mostly a four.
But there
he can play a five, but he's built like a four.
There was shade thrown, though, however, in Jarrett's attempt to spell Sabonis' first name.
How's it spelled?
Oh, yeah. Isn't there an O in there?
D-A-M-A-N-T-I-S.
Isn't it D-A-M-O-N?
Yes, it is.
D-O-M.
Damontis.
Different guy. Different guy.
That's right. Just like
different guy entirely.
Sarah Cazell's K-A-Z in some of the...
That should be that, the way you say it.
Okay, so, I'll tell my ancestors.
So Jokic over Embiid.
Yes.
Okay. How about you?
I think it's one of those two guys. It's not the other two guys.
Okay.
It's those two guys. Embiid is the bigger physical freak, but he doesn't always stay healthy, and he doesn't always play as locked in as he has this season. Jokic is just rock solid. So Vinny's probably right. Vinny, that's probably the call.
Okay. Well, a couple people responded and said, this poll question is disrespectful to Embiid and to Jokic to have the other guys listed with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
kind of true.
Look at Ayton's percentage.
I know.
And tell me it's disrespectful.
I know. D.A. got 26% of the vote.
Of course he did.
We're in Phoenix.
They like their team. Exactly.
Did.
They like their players. But the competition for this poll, it is between Embiid and Jokic. It's 39% of the vote for Joel Embiid, 34% for Nikola Jokic, and a whole 1% for
three votes.
Sabonis.
We got three votes so far.
We got you. Yeah. Sorry, Domas. Okay.
Who's the fourth best center? I guess I should have put Gobert, I guess.
Karl Anthony Towns is pretty good, too.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess. See,
I guess.
Is he I thought of him as...
Sure. Yeah. Okay. And moving on to our final question. Oh, we are just flying through social
studies.
I'm going
to put Anthony Davis. He plays mostly power forward, but he can also play center.
Okay, moving on to our next question. Our final question. So you guys mentioned this earlier in the show. Yesterday, we saw some rule changes coming down from the NFL Competition Committee for the upcoming season. And one of the rule changes is players don't get to have fun anymore. No more fun.
Right. True.
No more celebrating. No, it's specifically they want to limit player-to-player interactions, taunting, getting in each other's faces, standing over each other after a big play, big hit, that kind of thing. So I think it was Tom Pelissero who said expect to see more flags for those kind of instances. So open-ended question, we are asking, what is the number one rule you would change in the NFL?
Ooh. So many of them to choose from.
Yeah,
I mean, throw them out there.
Yeah, the ones that speak to me would be every division winner gets a guaranteed home playoff game, and the fumbling the ball through the back of the end zone resulting in a turnover is just way too penal.
That was a very popular response.
Whenever that takes place in a big game, the reaction on social media is pretty distinctly, this is the worst rule in sports. For me... I don't know, the first one that I thought of, and it does bother me a lot. I hate tie games in the NFL. I think it's ridiculous to play 70 minutes of football to determine nothing.
Yeah.
Get rid of the tie game. That would be at the top of my
list. That's good, too.
Do you know how you would want to get rid of it? Do you have a solution, or just don't do that? Like, another,
kind
of thing.
I saw somebody say play the overtime, and if it's still tied, then go to field goal kick out. Yeah,
have the kickers have a shootout.
I wouldn't do that, but I think that's still better than a tie game.
I think having a rugby scrum at midfield that would be fun.
Okay,
it's too physical.
They did something similar with that with the XFL.
Yeah, when the NFL started to try to crack down on head injuries and concussions, the XFL said, we're going to determine the winner of the coin toss, except it's going to be a head-on collision at midfield.
I think they got rid of that after like 3 weeks because it was such a disaster.
Yeah, because people died, I think.
Here's my two ideas.
Okay.
So we talked about how they don't have to play overtime anymore in preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
They should just do like they did in spring training games this year and just say, we're only going to play three quarters today.
Just decide.
We're only playing the first half.
We good doing seven innings? Yeah, we're good.
Why not?
We're good.
And then, this is how you fix the onside kick rule. Once a game, you're allowed to kick off with two footballs at the same time. Now, you only have to recover one of them to get the onside kick.
All right, Karen.
So what happens to the other football?
And then, my other two football idea
We're going to hear these two?
You've heard this one.
Oh.
But this is to
we're going to hear these again?
Does this involve a meat spoon, Jared?
It doesn't, but it's to fix overtime because, should both teams get the ball? Is it fair if one team only gets on defense? Should they score a touchdown? Both teams get the ball at the same time and they start on opposite ends of the field.
Okay.
Both offenses and defenses are on the field at the same time.
Uh-huh.
First one to get across midfield first wins.
So Red Rover style almost.
I don't know.
Or just first team to score. What do you mean get across midfield? Give them each like the ball on the 25 going into the end zone. Who gets there first?
Oh, and then they could run into each other.
No, you're not hearing me. The other way around. You're on this 25 going towards that goal line.
No.
You're on this 25. Why do you want something stupid? You're just trying to be goofy. You're just being goofy for the sake of being goofy.
Okay, wow. Dan, I kind of appreciate this idea.
Yeah, okay. So
your idea is
I hear it.
Because
simultaneous.
Right, so you got to score quick. You can't spend much time in the huddle.
Yes, that was a great idea. Yeah,
it's like an NBA, the skills competition.
You figured out what I meant.
Look.
Oh, yeah.
Every
what
week.
What was getting at.
You're brave to question Jarrett on his idea for a tiebreaker because, you know, he's great at it. We experience this all the time in Mustache, not a mustache.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's the king of the tiebreaker.
Right, your description of that tiebreaker rule, Jarrett, is exactly what the end of Mustache sounds like.
I love
it's exactly
it, though.
What it sounds like.
It's my favorite.
I mean, I didn't know if it was that good, but yeah, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, that's my favorite. All right. Well, yeah, like I said, it's overtime rules. And fumbling the ball out of the end zone, resulting in a turnover.
We got a lot of great responses to this. We can bring this back at the end of the show to go over some of these possibilities.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you,
Social
guys.
Studies every day at 1 o'clock on Twitter at @Bickley_Murata. Coming up next, Suns in Boston to take on the Celtics. We'll get a look at the Celtics through the eyes of Keith Smith, who writes for CelticsBlog.com. Next, Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata. Bickley and Murata. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Suns continue their road trip today in Boston against the Celtics after that win over Philly last night. 4 o'clock, of course, you can hear it over on ESPN 620 AM. And here to give us a look at the Celtics, talk NBA with us. He covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports and also for CelticsBlog.com on SB Nation. Keith Smith, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Keith, thanks for making some time for us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
If I had a dollar for every time I've heard somebody ask the question out loud this year, what's wrong with the Boston Celtics? I'd be a pretty rich guy. So I'll ask that question to you, somebody who watches the team a lot more closely than I do. What's your answer to that question, Keith?
Yeah, I hope we have about a four-hour-long segment here, because it's going to take about that long to break it down. There's a couple things. One is they have played exactly zero games with their entire lineup that they expected to have earlier in this season, and that's before you factor in more recent additions like Evan Fournier and Jabari Parker. So that's a big part of it. Brad Stevens the other night, when asked, why has the team kind of found its groove here in the month of April, said, I won't use it as an excuse for why we weren't playing well, but this is the first time we've had all of our guys together. So that's a big part of it. The other thing is they're just going through some growing pains right now. The roster, up until the Fournier acquisition, the bench was very young. It was a lot of guys who were very inexperienced. Most of the players were in their first or second year coming off the bench. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, this was the first year they came in really with the label of, all right, you're the guys. You're going to be the ones who lead us, because in prior years they had Kyrie Irving or Kemba Walker or Gordon Hayward there to kind of take that from the jump. So it's just been a little bit of a reset year, and add that to the injuries on top of it, and you've got a team that's a little bit further down in the standings than they're used to be in.
Does the name in advance of tonight's game, does the name Devin Booker resonate extra special in Boston because of what went down a couple years ago?
Yeah, it's definitely that's something that's always on everybody's mind. It was funny when the Celtics released a very lengthy injury report the other day. My mentions were filled with, oh, good, maybe Booker can break Wilt's record this time around. So it's so they're highly aware of Devin Booker and his accolades. And it's also been, even when the Suns have struggled and the Celtics have played well, Phoenix has continually given Boston good games. So this is a team that's very much on everybody's radar.
Keith Smith from CelticsBlog.com, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I think part of the weirdness from my viewpoint has been the Brad Stevens experience this year. His name came up a couple times for college coaching jobs. The Indiana job opened up. Then there was the report of the massive offer. He refuted that report. Did you get the idea that Celtics fans would have been relieved to see him take the Indiana job at this point?
There are definitely some that are there, but they're just looking for a scapegoat every time. It's just much like, I think, with any fan base, a team, is underperforming, and they're going to look to blame it on everybody. There's been, a lot of fire Brad, fire Danny Ainge. There's even people who are, they were for a while there, they were, well, maybe we should look at trading Jason Tatum or, trading Jaylen Brown or trade them both and just completely start over and those kind of things. I think there is this sense that people feel like this team maybe has gone as far as it's ever going to go without really just taking a step back and look at it and saying it's been kind of this revolving door of characters, and Stevens has had them right there in the mix to make the finals three out of the last 4 years. And this year, we'll see. The story is not written on this season yet for this team.
No.
Sure, they're struggling and they're not playing great, but they're not done yet.
All right, who is out for tonight? Do you know for a fact what the Celtics availability is going to look like tonight?
Yeah, we know Evan Fournier and Robert Williams are both still out. Jaylen Brown is doubtful. It doesn't sound like he's going to play. Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, and then Marcus Smart, who missed the last game, they're all available and are expected to play.
Okay,
gotcha. When you look at the Suns, obviously the meteoric rise, adding Chris Paul to the mix has been instrumental in that. I know you focus on the Celtics, but you follow the whole league. We've been having the discussions. What do you make of the Chris Paul MVP candidacy at this point?
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I don't know that his numbers are big enough to sway over. Unfortunately, some of the folks who have MVP votes and all NBA votes and all defense votes and the like, they openly admit that they don't watch every game and watch every team play. So I don't know that he can get there, but this has been another fantastic all NBA season for him. And at this point, I just expect to see Chris Paul, some Tuesday night, I'm going to turn on my TV and he's going to be 70 years old and pulling up and knocking down those free throw line jumpers.
Yeah, he probably will. All right. I've got to ask you, because I'm fascinated with the topic, watching Tom Brady win a Super Bowl, what did that feel like in Boston?
Yeah, a lot of people were very behind him, very supportive and cheered for him. I think people took the approach, especially when the Patriots had a down year and were kind of out of it, of, hey, I'm going to go all in on Brady and Gronk. Brady especially, if you can't be happy with the 20 years of Super Bowl contention that Tom Brady gave you, then I just, you're never going to be happy as a sports fan. And yeah, of course, everybody would have liked to see him stay in New England and just finish it out right there. But I think, the fact that he won, it's almost, you've got some people like, well, that kind of counts almost half of our title anyway.
Yeah, true. Keith Smith, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Back to the Celtics. They are 31-27. They're sixth in the East. There's two teams that have separated themselves in the East, even with injuries, and that's Philly and Brooklyn. When we get to the postseason, Keith, I mean, if things go right for the Celtics, how much shocking the world could they do in the Eastern Conference playoffs in your mind?
Yeah, they could. I certainly don't expect it. They've just been so inconsistent that I can't get there. But they could pull something like that off, because they have played the good teams very well this year. They've been in those games against those teams, and that's been missing key guys. And every time they faced one of those top three teams in the East, because I put Milwaukee in that group as well. They absolutely could. If they're healthy, they're going to be a really tough offense to stop. And then their defense defense because they play a switch everything defense. They will switch 1 through 5, and then what they do on the backside is they'll scramble out of the mismatches. When you get Kemba Walker matched with a bigger player who might take him down inside, they'll jump switch that, or they'll scramble out of it, or whatever they need to do to get him, you know, usually generally at that point off to the weak side where he's just going to kind of defend a corner shooter. So, but in order to pull that off, you need to have guys playing together on a regular basis so that the communication is where it needs to be. That hasn't been the case this year, but now we're starting to see that come together. So it wouldn't surprise me if they make a playoff run.
Keith, thanks so much for coming on the show today. We appreciate the time and the insight, as always.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Y'all stay safe. You and yours.
Keith Smith covers the NBA, Yahoo Sports, CelticsBlog.com. You can find him in a couple of other places, too. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit CoulterNissan.com. Coming up next, we'll update you on things that are happening in Cincinnati with the Diamondbacks and a baseball discussion that just won't go away. We'll do that straight ahead. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage at arizonasports.com is a pretty simple one, but it could lead to discussion. Who has been the Suns' best player this season? Devin Booker, Chris Paul, or other? I'm going to eliminate other.
Yeah, Chris Paul.
I agree with that. I think Devin Booker has been, for the most part, fantastic this year. I think in a lot of ways, the elevation of his game continues. But I would give the nod to Chris Paul. And 71% agree. Say Chris Paul's been the Suns' best player. 26% say Devin Booker. 3%, interestingly enough, said other. Who'd that be?
Frank Kaminsky, SWAT.
Mikal Bridges?
There was a stretch, maybe
some Ayton Love
earlier in the season. Mikal Bridges, he doesn't seem to be as impactful the last month or so,
but he was really good last night.
It's definitely those two guys.
That's interesting. 71% again on Chris Paul. That is today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can find it, vote on it right now on the homepage at arizonasports.com. In Cincinnati right now, two outs, top of the 10th, bases loaded. Diamondbacks lead 9-8 with David Peralta, who's already homered in this game, at bat. And a chance to give a little cushion because the Reds will start the bottom of the inning with a runner on second base per new Major League Baseball rules, which we'll get into.
They're
some
the best.
Yeah, they are the best. We'll get into some Major League Baseball discussion in just a second. But once again, there's money burning holes in our pockets.
Wow.
And we don't want to keep it.
Here we go. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The Arizona Sports signing bonus.
Have you noticed, by the way, in the changeover in between shows, when Doug and Wolf are getting out of here, Doug hasn't been talking too much smack about his their batting average on getting sinus bonus.
They're not doing
winners.
Well.
I think 3 days in a row, swing and a miss.
All right, so today, let's give away some money today.
Yes, let's do it. Right now, it is the Arizona Sports signing bonus. And our winner today, the name we're looking for to call in, is Louis Gowdy from Avondale. Louis Gowdy from Avondale. You've got 10 minutes to give us a call at 602-260-9870. If you do that, it's that simple, $500 in your pocket. If you didn't hear your name, you could still win by texting bonus to 620-620 and listen for your name every day at 735, 135, 335. Again, Louis Gowdy from Avondale. Your clock starts now. You've got 10 minutes to give us a call, 602-260-9870. Well, the D-backs have blown it open.
Yeah.
14-8 now after a home run by Carson Kelly. I haven't been able to watch everything that happened, but Peralta had a hit, too.
Well, yeah, Peralta, the bases were loaded. Peralta hit a sinking line drive to center field. Center fielder took a dive for the ball, sort of like Cole Calhoun, and it got by him, went all the way to the wall. So it was a stand-up triple. Next pitch, Carson Kelly just demolished. Carson Kelly's having himself an all-star type season so far.
He has been fantastic this year. And I think it there was like a year break. When the 2019 season ended on Carson Kelly,
yep,
there was so much of, oh, this is the catcher of the future. This guy's going to be a fixture for a while. And he was one of those guys that had that wonky 2020 season. A lot of them did. But, man, he looks fantastic right now.
Yeah, he really, really does.
And they're they're three outs away from sweeping the Cincinnati Reds just on this long road trip.
Just in the time you were saying Lewis Gowdy's name, they scored 6 runs just while you were doing that one-minute read. That is quite an inning.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the D-backs are likely going to win this game. They're going to be back to one game under 500, and this is good. I did not expect this. I'm very encouraged by this. Their bullpen clearly is not
good,
but hey, they're showing some fight, and that's cool.
Yes. Speaking of baseball, came across this morning. There's so much talk about, you know, balls being put in play. It's either a home run or a strikeout. There's obviously a lot of truth to that. This newsletter we both subscribe to pointed this out. Major league hitters, on average, hitting .232. That's 5 points worse than the worst single season mark ever in major league history. They also point out 11 teams have batted .220 or worse for a full season since 1900. There's 9 this season that are on pace to join them. The Chicago Cubs are hitting .201.
Yeah.
The New York Yankees as a team with a $200 million payroll are hitting .205 as a team.
Yeah. The batting averages are, as they say in the story, comically low.
Yeah.
So you've got an increase in strikeouts and a decrease in batting average, and hence what you have in Major League Baseball today. There's also 45 team shutouts through 500 games. They're on pace to shatter a record set in 1915, which is at the height of the dead ball era. So this is, I mean, it's more anecdotal data that baseball has got an aesthetics problem, real big aesthetics problem.
Which leads to all these rule proposals. We're going to see some of these rules tinkered with in the Atlantic League later this summer in the second half of the season. Rich Hill, who now pitches for the Tampa Bay Rays, he's been in the game a long time. I respect Rich Hill as one of the real thinkers and smart guys in Major League Baseball. But he said earlier this week, the game is perfect right now. He did come off that a little bit. He did say any measures intended to improve the pace or action, he referred to them as Mickey Mouse ways to make baseball more appealing. He said, quote, with the draft getting cut, with teams getting cut, that's where a lot of your coaches come from after they're done playing. He said later on that smaller cities and towns kids can go watch an A-ball game where they're going to see the next Mookie Betts come through. He talked more about the rule to move the pitcher's mound back a lot. He also believes that could lead to injuries among pitchers, which has not been discussed. Now, there's this obviously spurring possible change to give the hitters more of an advantage to perk up the offense, but nobody's talked about the injury factor, and that we'll see what that is all about, what the effects are. But imagine conditioning yourself your whole life throwing a baseball from a pitcher's mound at 60 feet 6 inches, and then hey, second half of the season, we're moving you back a foot.
Yeah, listen, that to me, I don't know what I think about that. I think that might tip everything too much in the other direction. But we'll see. I'm curious to see what the data looks like there. One of the best stories in Major League Baseball this year are the Boston Red Sox. And at one point in time, their owner, John Henry, he came out publicly and said, we've gone too far in analytics. We've kind of lost the forest for the trees, or in the trees. And he wanted the organization to dial back. And you look at the team this year, they're exciting. They play old school baseball. They hit line drives. They move runners. They move the line. And they've been a revelation. I'm not saying that's what every team should do. I'm just saying that if a baseball team really wants to appeal to its fan base, you might want to look into playing an appealing brand of baseball. Like what the Diamondbacks are doing here in Cincinnati.
A lot of that is ballpark influence.
Well, of course it is.
But even though we're in the midst of watching a game that this inning was started by a runner on second base, and that is a non-starter for a lot of baseball fans. Here's one more quote from Rich Hill. He said that's kind of the health of the game, the health is of where baseball is going. We talk about it being diminished. We talk about it being on the downturn. Well, if we want to promote the game and we want to do that, cutting the game in half, talking about these rules to shorten the game, to me, that doesn't make sense. I'll stick by this. I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool baseball purist. Mm-hmm. I try to look at it case by case when new rules come across. But generally speaking, I don't think any of these rules proposals are going to welcome new or attract new eyes. I just don't. If you don't like something and it just gets altered a little bit, is that going to make you try it out? I mean, baseball has an issue at the youth level.
Yeah.
It's become a very expensive sport to play.
It has. You're not kidding.
It's not.
A good aluminum bat, you know what that costs these days?
Yeah, a few hundred dollars.
Insane.
But, and the kids that are, you know, into baseball mm-hmm. at young ages, that's like a part-time, if not full-time job for parents to support kids in travel leagues.
Yeah.
Now, it's produced a lot of good talent, I'm sure. But it's not as easy as grabbing a bat and, you know, your $30 mitt and going to the sandlot and playing a game anymore. It just doesn't work that way.
No, yeah, listen, no, it really doesn't. And that's a fundamental difference. So on some level, they do need to kind of fix that in terms of keeping a pipeline of really good players. I don't think talented players are baseball's issue. I think not giving them a showcase to show how athletic and great they are. That's the issue here. I'll tell you what's interesting. We talk about launch angles and how that's changed offensive approach in Major League Baseball. As this story points out, spin rates for pitchers, the data that they've been able to glean from that, it's been a huge game changer.
Yeah.
It's allowed pitchers to change basically the trajectory of their pitches and better understand how to bend the baseball.
What year do you think it was when you first heard the term spin rate when it came to pitching?
What was it? I don't know.
In the last decade.
2 years ago? 3 years ago?
If we had a phone call from our guy?
No.
From
no.
Lewis Gowdy?
He's got 2 minutes
Lewis
left.
Gowdy from Lewis. Avondale. You got 2 minutes to give us a call. 602-260-9870.
No, Lewis Gowdy. Call him.
$500 on the line. Some final thoughts coming up next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta, song of the day.
Nice shot. Hey, man, nice shot by Filter in honor of Joel Embiid last night. Do you remember when this song came out? People assumed Filter was writing about Kurt Cobain.
Yes.
And the song seemed really, really dangerous. And Filter, they got really scared by the pressure they were feeling. How dare you write that about Kurt Cobain? And they came out and said, no, it was about this politician named R. Bud Dwyer who shot himself on live television.
Yeah. From Pennsylvania, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that, as soon as it wasn't about Kurt Cobain, that song was not as dangerous. So I always tell people, no, actually, I've never said this to anybody.
But now you're
but
going
if
to.
I, but if I could, this is what I would tell people. All budding young songwriters, Jared's writing that down. To all budding young songwriters, never explain to people the meaning of your songs. Let them figure it out for themselves. Let them interpret it however they want. Leave the mystery involved.
To all budding songwriters, do not become R. Bud Dwyering songwriters.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Do you consider yourself good at listening and interpreting lyrics and getting meanings of songs? I'm really bad at it.
Are you?
It's got to be pretty much just, you know, hit me over the head with it to get the meaning of a song.
Yeah, I don't think I have a talent for it either way. No.
We may have.
I spent most of my life listening to AC/DC. There wasn't a lot of nuance in those lyrics, Vinny.
We may have given this game to the Diamondbacks a little too easy, perhaps. A little too early.
Yeah. What is
Jared,
it now?
They're up by 6 runs.
Nope. Five runs now, and there's 2 guys on.
And Stephon Crichton just took a bouncer back to the box off the pitching hand. They're looking at him right now. So 14-9. That's what we need is more football scores in baseball.
How about this series? First game takes 2 days. Second game goes to extra innings. Third game goes to extra innings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this could be three victories in the span of how long?
22 hours. 22 wow. and a half hours.
Yeah. There you go. There is today's song of the day. Hey, man, nice shot by Filter.
Bickley and Murata, your daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia.
All right, you mentioned it. In that outburst in the 10th inning for the Diamondbacks, David Peralta had a triple, his third of the year, his 39th as an Arizona Diamondback, which ranks him second on the all-time triples list in Diamondbacks history. Your question today is, what infielder is number one on that list? Most triples in the history of the Arizona Diamondbacks. This Crichton's coming out of the game. Oh, that's not good.
Tony Womack.
Great guess. He's third with 37. I was surprised to see who this was.
You got
to
guess. Bell.
Not Jay Bell. You got a guess, Jarrett? Jay Bell is 16th on the list. I'm going to put this guy, he was a good player, I'm going to put him in the forgotten category. Never gets talked about in the history of Diamondbacks baseball.
Must be an older player then, huh?
You want the years?
Yeah.
06 to 2012. Okay.
The guy I was going to say was Aaron Hill.
No.
I don't know.
Steven Drew.
Whoa. Oh,
yes.
52 triples. Yes. Far and away the leader in Diamondbacks history.
I remember that now, that he used to get a lot of triples. He got overshadowed because he was a super high, big prospect, but he was the same time as Justin Upton.
And the Drew brothers were very not well-liked. They were represented by Scott Boras. They
yeah.
Not,
they Neither not. One really became like the superstars that they were supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the answer on Vinny Joe Trivia today. We had a lot of response to the question about changing one rule in football, and there were some really interesting ones. A lot of them did focus on the overtime rule, which I said, you can't have tie games. Come on. Especially with legal gambling. You can't have tie games
right,
anymore.
Right.
A lot of talk for the fumbling out of the end zone. Here's another one that I could really get behind. Now, it is somewhat hypocritical. I can be hypocritical on this one. I love it when my team is on offense and defensive pass interference becomes a spot foul 40 yards down the field. It's fantastic when you're on offense.
Yeah, it
terrible
is.
When you're on defense.
Yeah,
15,
I agree with that.
15 yards, spot foul under 15 yards and an automatic first down. Or if it's longer than 15 yards, they just bring it back to 15.
That sounds good.
Yeah? You'd sign off on that one?
I would sign off on that one.
How about...
Because I think you're right. I think it's great when you're the offensive team, not so much if you're playing defense.
How about eliminating instant replay? Can you imagine going back to... I mean, we always complain about it. We always talk about it. But going back to sports without instant replay in terms of officiating would be so strange.
Yeah, it would be, and I'm not sure that you want to do that. I don't think this country's ready to accept all that human error again.
You can't, because the audience has instant replay.
Right.
So if the audience sees something that's clearly wrong, it's not going to work.
But that was the case for decades.
But now you have slow-mo, high-definition instant replay, and you can have a DVR where you can rewind the play on your own and all this stuff.
That is true.
And you have social media where you can complain about.
Speaking of rule changes, one coming in college football today, just announced in the last 10 minutes. College overtime rule change. Teams will be required to attempt 2-point conversions after touchdowns in the second overtime period now instead of the third overtime period.
That is a very minor change.
Yeah, very minor.
But it'll shorten some of those marathon games where the stats get out of whack. At the end of regulation, quarterback had 2 touchdown passes. At the end of overtime, he's got 7 touchdown passes.
Yeah, right.
I never understood why they should just stop counting those stats as normal stats once they get to a gimmicky overtime. My real actual overtime idea is make it where you play a full overtime and whoever is leading after the full overtime is the winner. And if it's still tied, then you go to sudden death.
Yeah, but...
Play another full period like they do in all the other sports.
But then the player safety thing comes into play again. In case you missed it, by the way, the highlight of the Steve Keim, Cliff Kingsbury press conference, in my opinion, was Cliff Kingsbury being asked about the Rams draft mansion, and Cliff said this.
I think it's just a ploy by McVay to allow himself the opportunity to take his shirt off again and jump in the pool like he did on, on Hard Knocks. Probably sip a little rosé, dip in the ocean, and make some draft picks. So I think more than anything, he headed that up. So it should be fun to watch.
Rosé.
Well done, Cliff.
Well done, Cliff.
You saw the Seahawks tweeted a response to that, a picture of a shirtless
Pete Carroll.
Yeah,
when Pete Carroll so ripped his shirt off in meeting DK Metcalf. They said, we don't need a pool for that. Thanks to our guests today, Keith Smith, Mike Golic. Thanks to you for hanging out with us. We appreciate it, as always. We'll do it again tomorrow at 10. Burns and Gamble up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.